The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
Yes, it's quarter time with the West Sports Chief of Staff, Glenn Quartermain. G'day, Quarters.
Hello, Ben. We haven't spoken since the grand final yet.
I know. You recovered?
I have.
It's a bit of a letdown,
it was
wasn't
a fizzer as a grand final, but it was a magnificent performance by Geelong.
Yeah. They were so dominant. It echoed that great grand final win against Port Adelaide a number of years ago, which also was a very boring grand final. This was a grand final where I pretty much stopped watching after maybe 5 minutes into the second half. It was just like, nah, there's no point.
Yeah, I watched it, but it was hard work late. But it was just a party, wasn't it? And Joel Selwood obviously has announced his retirement this week. 34, 355 games, 4 premierships.
Legend.
Magnificent career. And just, you know, true leadership on the day with everything he did in carrying Gary Ablett's son Levi out onto the ground and his celebrations after the game and just even giving his boots to the Oz kicker. This is a great career. Will he be remembered for ducking? Yeah, he will partially, but I think it's overrided by the courage and the leadership and just the great football he's displayed over the years. So, well done, Joel Selwood. Great career.
Yeah, absolutely. As he rides off into the sunset with a grand final medal, it's pretty special. And now let's talk about Alistair Clarkson.
The Hawthorn.
And the Hawthorn debacle that is just unfolding over their review into the treatment of Indigenous players, which revealed some really horrifying, unsavoury stuff in how they treated their players and the girlfriends and partners of the players. There's so much mud being thrown around. How much of it do you reckon is actually going to stick to Clarko?
Well, there are allegations at this point. We must double down on that. They're not yet to be proven. He's come out really strongly last night and said he believes the review now is irrevocably corrupted, just with the widespread reporting. So the News Corp have released the actual reports. There is very damning stuff in there, but we repeat that there are allegations. So you want natural justice to take its course. Alistair Clarkson's now worried that there's going to be natural justice with what's happening at the moment. So we'll see. Interestingly, the AFL Coaches Association yesterday came out and said, we want to expedite this process because the longer it goes, the more sort of mud's being thrown. They're yet to announce their 4-person panel. It is a delicate balance for the AFL now, getting that panel right. But I don't think it's going to be a short process. I think it's going to be a lengthy process. And unfortunately for Gil McLachlan, who wanted to exit on a high, which he's done a lot for the AFL, but he wants to see this one out. So I'm not sure how quickly this is going to be resolved.
Well, it's a minefield, right? Because it's like these AFL club reviews, these internal reviews that happen, it's not like a Royal Commission or a CCC where people have to testify under oath.
No, they
and
don't.
They can be convicted of perjury if they tell fibs. You know what I mean? Like there's the checks and balances to ensure that the report only unearths the truth. Not really there. Everybody tries their best, obviously, but you know, like I think there probably is some grey area between
the question
where the truth lies.
I think you're right, but the question is, and I think we need to see this review, have this panel get hold of this and have a look at it. We need to see the Indigenous families interviewed again. There's some reluctance for those families to be interviewed again, which is a worry. They would have to be a part of this process. If any of these allegations are proven correct, and it's a big if still, we let the justice take its course, there could be human rights violations. So, you know, that's the next step. So let's just see how it unfolds. But right now you've got Alistair Clarkson, who was due to take over as North Melbourne coach on November 1. Chris Fagan, who's the current Brisbane coach, he's have a leave of absence. Andrew Newbolt, the former Hawthorn president, leave of absence in his role as an AFL commissioner. You've got Jason Burt, who was at Hawthorn at the time. He's taken a leave of absence from his job at Caulfield Grammar. And you've got Mark Evans implicated now, who's at the Gold Coast as their chief CEO. So there's so many people implicated. Mm. There's so many pillars here, and it's going to be a tricky one for the AFL, but I think it's one that we need to take our time on and get it right.
And what happens with Clarko at North Melbourne?
Well, it's just he has prolonged his day of beginning his new role, so it's going to be
pushed back.
Look, it will be. Look, we don't know is the answer. So there's, I think they're swinging contingency plans into action. So I think Lee Adams will be taking training. There'll be another person taking charge of Trade Week, which starts next week. At Brisbane, I think Brisbane have been very strong in backing Chris Fagan, as is North and Sonia Hood with Clarkson, but Brisbane particularly strong. There's no contingency plans there right now. they believe he'll be coaching them. So a lot to play out.
And what happens about, you know, these types of reviews into the treatment of Indigenous players happening at other clubs, yes, like the Eagles and the Dockers? There's been talk about it. Is that going to move forward?
Well, they have both said, after being pushed by the West Australian, I might add, that they are open to reviews. Now, yesterday we contacted them again. Adam Simpson still hasn't spoken on his tenure at Hawthorn, which is 2010 to 2013. Now, he's one of many assistant coaches who've gone on to be very good league coaches. There's no suggestion any implications for any of these people. We just want to know whether they
saw it,
witnessed any of these things while they were there, and he's yet to speak on that. The Eagles have said, look, because there's an AFL review, there'll be no comment made. The Eagles have said, we're waiting for instruction from the AFL to see how this unfolds. The Dockers have been a bit more aggressive. They've said, we will be talking about this at our next board meeting. But both open to review, but yet to do anything about it, which is probably pretty soon. So I'm not surprised.
And, you know, does the AFL just take it out of their hands and say, we're doing a competition-wide review?
Well, I think so, but I think the AFL needs to just deal with this first, this Hawthorn matter first, and then look at it beyond that. Don't forget, the Hawthorn review was commissioned by Hawthorn. Mm. Now, I'm sure they didn't expect to come back what came back, but it was commissioned by Hawthorn. So this is not a sweep it under the carpet. This was sent straight to the AFL Integrity Unit, who looked at it and said, we need this to go to an independent panel. So
here's a question for you. Is it so far-fetched that a state government might say, do you know what? Like, we're not going to leave this up to the AFL, a sporting code, to regulate itself, and we're going to step in here and do it like a parliamentary inquiry with a bit more teeth?
Down the track, possibly, but right now, Tony Booty, the Aboriginal Minister, has said, Minister for Aboriginal Affairs, I should say, he has said, we'll leave it up to the AFL right now, but our view is that there should be a AFL-wide review. So clubs should reconnect with their membership, their staff. But I think my take on it is that I think most, if not all, AFL clubs right now are a pretty good space in this area. I think this is all historical, and I think it's important to look at the history.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good way to approach it. But it's certainly a very important discussion to have, because how we look after Indigenous players, especially the ones that have come from remote communities, I think is critical to the future of the game. And now let's talk about the Waffle Grand Final. It's happening on Saturday. We spoke about it a bit earlier on the show. They're putting on a huge spectacle in Leaderville, closing down the streets, and the cafes will be extending their alfresco areas. As for the game itself, why is it at Leaderville Oval?
Well, there's a one-day international at Optus Stadium, Australia-England, and that needs 21 days to bed down the drop-in pitch.
Ah, they've got to prep the pitch.
So they couldn't play there.
Gotcha.
It's a shame, but it's Perth Stadium, Optus Stadium. It's a stadium for all codes. It's about to become cricket season. So, but look, Leaderville Oval, there were some questions over the surface. It was horrible about 6 weeks ago. Yeah. It's in magnificent condition right now. It's at least it looks like it is.
Yeah.
And I'm told it is pretty.
We got enough rain, right? That was the issue.
$30,000 like they spent on it, but it's looking really good. They're going to set up the precinct. I think it'll be like the 70s, you know, with balloons and nice. Good on them. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere around there. West Perth v Claremont, Claremont coached by Ashley Prescott. I think he lost coached three losing Claremont grand final teams, and this is his reincarnation back there. Darren Harris, of course, who was dismissed 10 days after a narrow loss with Claremont in a grand final a couple of years ago, now coaching West Perth against them. So there's they're trying to hose that down, but I can tell you, mate, there's a fair bit in this.
Yeah, there's a bit of intrigue happening there. And who do you like?
I'm going to say Claremont. I think they bat really deep in the midfield. They've got a lot of experience there. Now, West Perth were the first to progress through the second semi, so they're going to slot as slight favourites, and they're every chance. But I just got a feeling Claremont's going to win this one. Mm.
Sell out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think just under $15,000 is the capacity there, so I think it will be.
Yeah,
I certainly hope it will. Come on, West Australians, get behind it.
Yeah, exactly. And now let's talk Wildcats, because their new season starts on Sunday. Our colleague Craig O'Donoghue has interviewed the new coach on the Dribble podcast.
John Reilly, yes. So he takes over. Great experience. Brian Gorgian and Phil Smythe, he played under both of those great basketball figures. So you're talking about someone with great pedigree here.
Phil Smythe, what a player.
Oh, yeah. the general.
Dude, if there was ever a dude who you would look at and go,
he's an accountant.
He's a professional sportsman. Give me a break.
He was one of the greats of the NBL. Yeah. So he comes from great pedigree, has a storied NBL career himself. We opened the season against the Brisbane Bullets on Sunday at RAC Arena. Craig Hutchinson spoke at the launch last night. Now,
who hasn't been around?
He hasn't. Well, let's give him some. Yeah, COVID made it difficult for him, and he's saying that, look, I want to be around here. I'm going to be pretty visible at a lot of games this year. We've also there'll be no CEO. So Troy Giorgio left that position. They had a lot of resignations over the postseason. They haven't filled that role yet. Craig Hutchison, not too worried about that. He said there's no immediate time frame on it. We'll work that as it comes. To Sean Thomas, Brady Manick, Corey Webster, great recruits in for the Wildcats. Let's give him another year. We were pretty critical. They ended that 35-year run of making the finals. But let's give the Wildcats another opportunity here. You don't know, Ben. This could be the first of four flags in a row. So let's back them in.
Yeah, we'll see how we go. And now let's talk NRL before we let you go.
The Dally M, the night of nights last night.
Nico Hines, Cronulla halfback.
38 points, or they're actually votes. It's a 3-2-1 voting system, much like the AFL, except it's an independent judge who gives those votes out. They call them points, but they're actually votes. So it's done on a 3-2-1 basis. 38's a hell of a lot of votes. He's had a hell of a season. Morphs beautifully into the Battle of the West. So we've got a really curious NRL Grand Final happening on Saturday at Acor Stadium. You've got Parramatta, who haven't won it, I think, for 38 years, against Penrith.
Who won last year,
but I don't think a team's gone back-to-back for three decades. So there's a lot riding on this. It is a true Battle of the West. It's a bit like the old-style New South Wales Rugby League Grand Finals, and I can't wait.
I loved so on Sunrise, once a week, they get Barnaby Joyce and Tanya Plibersek to go head-to-head, and they talked about the rugby league, and they asked Tanya, who are you going to be going for? And she's just like, you know, both teams are from Western Sydney. To be honest with you, I don't really care. But the interesting thing for me is, so Penrith has smashed up a few teams this year. Like, they finished, I think, two wins clear at the top of the table, been very dominant, scored a lot of points. Parramatta, nowhere near as good, but certainly Penrith smashed them in the first week of the finals.
Well, they beat them twice. Parramatta's
beaten them twice this year, though, right? So they match up pretty well. But, you know, if you're going on the most recent encounter where the Panthers smashed them in the first week of the finals, I don't know. How do you see this one going?
Penrith win this. Yeah, I'm just going to back them. Nathan Cleary, superstar.
Yeah, don't overthink it.
And get on Dylan Edwards for the Clive Churchill medal too, the fullback. So they've got a lot of talent, Parramatta. I think it's going to be wet in the lead-up and dry on the day, and I'm told that will suit Parramatta. But get on Penrith. I think they win this.
Yeah, I think so. And I've got a soft spot for the Penny Panthers.
And just a little bit of late news before I go. Jaden Hunt, who's a Melbourne...
Oh, yeah, of course.
So 21, I think he's played 40-odd games in the last 2 years for Melbourne. He's a really quick sort of defender for Melbourne. You'll recognise him. He wears that big red headband. So Jaden was very unlucky to miss out on their premiership. He rolled an ankle a couple of weeks out and couldn't play in their premiership over here. But certainly a pretty good player. Quick. Maybe question marks over the delivery by foot, but he's very quick. He's 27. He's a free agent, so the Eagles can get him for nothing. And I think they're in the box seat to sign Jaden Hunt.
Yeah, and so how will that impact their chances next year? Because it's
it's one player, but it all helps, and they do need some speed in there. So you may even play further up the ground, but that'll be a good get for them.
Well, Glenn Quartermain, the West Sport Chief of Staff, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
We'll talk to you next week.
Look forward to it.
To have your say, or if you have a story, email the team at thewestlive@wanews.com.au.